You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Ferhat Erdem. Ferhat, thanks so much for being with me today.
Really glad to be here, Brainerd. Thank you.
Ferhat, it's just past the new year. You were talking on January 12th in 2021, a kind of unusual time, as I keep saying in all these interviews. I begin the interviews by saying, wow, we're talking in the pandemic, and you know, here we are still in the pandemic. You're talking to me from Mississippi now. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. I'm at Gulfport, Mississippi, temporarily. Yeah.
So what's happening in Gulfport? Do you want to give us a snapshot before we start talking about current and past projects or future? Do you want to give us a little bit of a snapshot of where you're at in this pretty unusual historic time?
Yeah. And it's true. It seems like it's a special time, and then it sort of keeps getting extended. So who knows? We'll probably be in this for a while, right? But and in part, yeah, I mean, I'm here in Gulfport. I live in Des Moines, Iowa, and I'm in Gulfport because my partner Olivia Valentine and I, we just kind of we wanted to stay isolated but also get out of there for a little while, and needed to decided to come here to do our work, just in a kind of bit of seclusion still, but elsewhere, secluded elsewhere.
Right.
And so that's why we're here, I suppose. Yeah.
And but why exactly there?
As opposed
to other things.
Right. As opposed to somewhere else. Well, part of it is maybe being a little bit warmer, but I just wanted to get to a coast because actually the project I'm working on right now has to do with kites, called Kite Choir, and the coastal winds are something that I've just really needed for a really long time, and I haven't been able to get to it for over a year. So decided to take this, during the winter break, sort of come down here and try to access those coastal winds.
So that's exciting. Let's talk about the current project, Kite Choir. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, it's a project I've been working on for now actually about 3 years, and it's based on, it sort of grows out of the sort of traditions of singing kites. There are these traditions in Vietnam and Cambodia and Japan and China. These are kites that have, they're kind of animistic traditions. They have these sound-making devices attached to them. Some of them are just like they have these sort of reeds going across the top, so it's kind of like blowing into like a leaf or a gum wrapper, you know, that kind of sound that makes, right?
But
it's
like, I mean, reeds going across the top of the kite, so when the kite is flying, we hear a sound?
Like a giant angry hornet.
Kind of. Wow.
Like, yeah, and then there are others that use flutes, really beautiful, beautiful sound on top of it's sort of like the head of the kite. And, you know, these are, as far as I've been able to gather in my research into them, you know, many of them are kind of a part of a animistic tradition in a sense, right? Thinking of the kite as something that's brought to life by the wind, is, or the wind is its kind of spirit, and the voice, the sound of that kite is, in a sense, the voice of that, you know, of that creature. So the Kite Choir, kind of working with these sound-making devices, but instead of you having the sound-making device attached to the kite, sort of be part of that animated creature, so they're trying to utilize the whole kite line and the reel of the kite as part of that instrumentation, right? So in that way, really the sound is a kind of, it's really through a collaboration between the human pilot or performer and the kite and the atmosphere, right? You know, so it's and instead of being on its own, right, instead of just belonging to the creature up in the sky, it's kind of that whole construction that's created. So
let's talk more about that because that sounds wonderful and beautiful, and also not completely clear that you you're adding in more sounds. There's this tradition of the singing kites, which sounds like it comes from objects on the kites. And your how will your project ultimately kind of manifest? Your flying kites, which sounds great in itself, but you're also using sounds that aren't just ones that are attached to the kite, right? Well,
yeah, I mean, these are still using the same principle of this. So there's sort of vortex shedding effect, you know, as air is moving against a rod of any sort, you know, or a reed or what have you, it vibrates it back and forth. So the kite line is also is a very, very long line, a very long string is also vibrating. So in some of these instruments, let's say the reel will have a set of musical strings attached to it. So then it's like having a guitar.
Musical string. So just to understand, you're flying a kite on a musical string, a metal string?
No, that would probably be pretty dangerous, I think, right? Like it's a kind of
right.
Lightning rod.
That would be what Benjamin Franklin did.
Yeah. I mean, I've had fantasies of doing that, but it's probably not a good idea. No, the kite line itself is just fishing line that has rosin on it, so it becomes sticky, right? And so that sticky line is then bowing a set of musical strings stretched next to the reel. So imagine that you attach a kite reel to a guitar, and the line of the kite is bowing across the strings of the guitar, let's say. So the kite line itself is then vibrating in the wind, and it's producing all these crazy overtones. And those are being transmitted to the strings themselves, which are they are also vibrating in the wind as well. So it's a kind of so the thing is that unlike a guitar, in these instruments there is no fingering, and that's intentional, like to not have that, because then that becomes like, you know, kind of gimmicky. I think in that it's then you just, you know, you're just one shouldn't be able to play a conventional piece of music, let's say, right? You know. So it's really the interaction of these overtones and fundamentals of these strings that produces the sounds, you know. Yeah.
So is it similar to, I saw a video that you did, which perhaps we can include in this interview, called Kite Choir Sounding. That was from May 10th, 2019, and you see someone flying a kite. It looks like it's in Iceland or something, some gorgeous setting, and you hear these kind of deep bass sounds that almost sound like the wind or the string pulling or something like that. Is it similar to that?
Yeah. So there's the bowing sounds, right? The strings, and that sounds like a bowed stringed instrument, right? But then on top of that, there's the sort of whistling and humming and shrieking sometimes of the kite line itself in the wind. Yeah. So when the wind is really stiff, and the line is really tight, it's a really high shrieking sound, but sometimes in really magical moments, you know, you can get that kind of whistling happening when the tension is very, very low, and the kite is like barely just suspended in the air, right? And then there's this really beautiful kind of singing that starts to happen off of that kite line, and that's, you know, that's so that's part of it. That's part of the reason why I had to come to the coast is. The smoother winds here make a big difference in that sound.
I can't imagine it's quite as beautiful as where you did the last one, though. Was that Iceland?
Yeah, that was Iceland. Yeah. It's that's actually one of the places where I think the importance of place became important in the project. Like that, where that the role of place. It really, I started to understand it better. I mean, there I was at a residency called Heima. That's in Seyðisfjörður, that's one of the fjords in Iceland, and it's on the eastern coast of Iceland. And there, every day I would go out on a hike, essentially, with the instruments and recording equipment, and just try and find, like, what the what the wind is doing in relation to the water and the sides of the fjord, the mountains, and just try to work with that. You know, try to find the sort of good moments, in a sense, try to understand the topography in relation to the wind.
And then it is a little bit, it's not quite like playing any music, but it is a bit like an instrument, right? You've got this winder, this contraption in your hand, right, that's letting out the string, and you've modified that adaption, that just kite reel to reel on the string to help create and identify sounds. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, that's why I call them soundings, in that it doesn't feel like I am playing a piece of music or broadcasting a sound into space. It feels more like I am, it is trying to hear what it sounds like.
Right. Listening.
Yeah. Yeah. But you have to play to listen. That's the,
you have to play with the sounds, right, to hear the different sounds. So you're playing with the string, and it's so where will these kind of end up, the projects end up being videos essentially, as well as exhibitions of the kind of setup that you create, or how will these be exhibited?
Well, so that's a kind of an ongoing question for me, in that well, first, I should say, you know, this project really kind of started with as a collaboration with Paula Mathewson, who's an electroacoustic composer and musician, and she wrote a beautiful score for the Kite Choir. And it's the thing about that score is that it's not just, of course, you know, since you can't really make a score that, it's not a conventional score, right? It has variable instructions based on various factors. Might be the wind speed, might be the weather.
How would you make a score for something that essentially you can't score, you can't predict or play?
That's right, but there are certain cues, there are certain constraints one can give, right? So let's say that in you do certain things in very high winds, but not others. You do certain things in, say, very soft winds. If it's sunny, you might fly the kite watching its shadow, right? If it's there are also instructions for, let's say, when it's when there's a tornado, right? And obviously, you're not going to be flying a kite outside, or when there's a thunderstorm. But there are instructions of things to do, and also ways to think and meditate about it, and ways to listen to the sounds, even when one is not necessarily flying. So what's the thing about that is that it's really, that score is that the insight that it really has is this sort of connection between a momentary thing that one might be doing, this sort of aesthetic practice that one might be doing, you know, and actually the rest of life, right? So in that sense, more so than a project, I see this as creating a practice. So the products of it, whether it's a video or an audio recording, or, you know, those are there, and I don't think they're really settled yet. But what's most interesting to me about it is as a practice. And so in that sense, I don't know when one stops a practice exactly. I guess one can replace a practice with another practice, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't. So in terms of the products of it, the videos are one thing, and of course I'd like to get that to a place where it's not just something that one sees on a screen, because that's a rather flat experience. I think the way to bring somebody into it the most is actually to have them do it somehow. And I think that's the thing, is that in the name of it, and say calling it Kite Choir, there's an implication that it's, of course, an ensemble, something that one does together with others, you know. And so far, that really hasn't worked out. And that's the thing, actually, I'd really like to achieve is, the sounds, I'm imagining the sounds of multiple lines kind of sampling the sky in this way, and what that would sound like, right? And if, like, conventionally, if you would use a score to coordinate musicians, in this case, there's no such score exactly like that, but the movements of the atmosphere, right, that might actually start to coordinate the movements of people, because you're responding to the same thing, just there is moving slightly different over here versus over there. I think that medium, right, that sort of how that creates a shared medium, that would be, I think, really beautiful and something I'm working toward, hopefully, try to do that. Yeah.
So what will be the next kind of iteration or manifestation? When what will happen in 2021? Will there be an exhibition or something like that?
Well, there will be. And, so one thing that's going to happen, one thing that happened with the pandemic is that I had some of these, a couple of workshops planned where I'm going to try to create more of an ensemble around this. Those, of course, couldn't happen because of travel restrictions and, of course, social distancing and so on. Where I teach at Iowa State University, I got the opportunity to propose a class around it, actually. So I hope to be able to do this this coming semester, this spring semester, with a group of students. They'll be making their own instruments and aircraft.
So they're making their own kites as well?
Yeah.
And how do you build these kites? I mean, I love flying kites. These look like they're parafoils. They're structureless kites, but are they? What kind of kites are they making?
These are kind of a modified sled kite, right? So it's like a sled kite moving toward a parafoil. poor man's sled parafoil kites. You know, the parafoil kites are great, but they're my sewing skills aren't quite up to that yet.
But, right.
I'll get there, you know. But so it's like a sled kite. So they do have two very skinny dowels. But there's another layer. It's true, that's added. So it creates a kind of a chamber, a kind of a box, kind of like a box kite too, I suppose. But yeah, they're made so that, I mean, just thinking about travel in mind, and there's really nothing in it that will really break.
Right.
They're very simple.
But it's a very beautiful practice, right? With you're going alone or with students or with, collaborators. Flying kites is in terms of practice and research for artists, is a kind of beautiful form, isn't it? I mean, to step back and just look at, like, you know, what this is, the initial idea of it being influenced by singing kites. Kite flying itself has always struck me as a, it's a very kind of almost poetic activity. You're looking up in the sky always, which is such a rare thing to do.
Yeah, one is looking up at the sky, and I think the other thing is that one is thinking about, especially with the sound being a component of it, it's really a kind of a, I call it a practice of attunement with the atmosphere. So in the sense that I am constantly, it's not something you can just go out and do whenever you want to do it. You have to wait for the right time. So I can't say,
right,
that's part of why it's difficult to create an ensemble, is that you can't say, okay, Saturday, everybody, let's get together and do this. You know, in a sense, it has to be that you have to be kind of ready to go when the opportunity presents itself. I think like a farmer probably understands that. I mean, I'm not a surfer, but a surfer probably understands that sense. And there's something about, I realize how the way that we schedule our time, you know, you say, okay, you know, at 2 o'clock on Tuesday, we'll meet and do this, do so-and-so and so-and-so. But now I also have this conflicting thing that I have to actually say to people, well, weather permitting, I'll be there, you know, which means,
right,
if I'm not flying kites, I'll be there, you know, like, That introduces that kind of interesting friction, I think, which is actually, today I think it's a really important, important friction to have in one's life is to say, well, you know, the weather isn't going to be what we need it to be necessarily.
Right. Yeah, I like that. Farhad, it's exciting to talk about this, and people can, of course, learn more from your website and more material in this video. But is there anything else you want to say about this particular project in terms of how people can learn more or what's coming up? Again, there will be links in here so people can go to your website and all of that. But is there anything else you want to say about this project that I should have asked before I asked the last question?
No. There's more there. I can probably talk about it for a while. I'm gonna do. So it's not exactly with kites, but this idea of this sort of the sound of how air is moving in one location versus another. You know, two points. That's actually kind of transformed a little bit with the pandemic and this 6 foot distance. You know, that we. Minimum 6 foot distance that we have between us, and rather making these sort of aeolian harps, you know, just based on the same principle, single string or double string aeolian harps that, or the strings are just 6 feet apart, let's say, right? And so this the sound of what does 6 feet apart sound like, you know, in the atmosphere. So those are, I'm calling those walking harps, and with Paula Mathewson and also with Olivia Valentine, we're going to be doing an exhibition in September, so working toward that with these components. Yeah. At Anderson Gallery at Drake, hopefully. Fingers crossed. Yeah.
Very good. Well, it's exciting to talk about this, and I look forward to hearing more. I want to ask you the last question, which is, what are you reading at the moment? I'm always curious what everyone's reading.
Right now, I just finished reading Carlo Rovelli's book on Anaximander, which, and I'm not sure if I'm even pronouncing that name correctly, but Anaximander was a pre-Socratic Greek philosopher. So Carlo Rovelli is a physicist writing about this pre-Socratic philosopher, you know. I just finished reading that. That was good. I've read some other things that Carlo Rovelli has written about where Anaximander plays a part, and I think those are maybe more interesting, but yeah.
That's good. That is interesting. Farhad, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today. It's really been a pleasure, and I wish you well with your work, and wish I could be out there flying kites with you, honestly.
One day, maybe, you know. One day, post-pandemic.
Thank you so much, Farhad.
Thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.